The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you are to us. Thank you for your ability that works in us. We receive the word with joy this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. God bless you. You might be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's been a wonderful May. Hallelujah. Now I told you guys, this month you are going to have lots and lots of miracles. And I have received a couple of testimonies already. And it's going to happen in a rush. Are you getting me? Plenty miracles happening all over the places for people. So get set for it. Glory to God. Now I want to share, we're going to continue from where we stopped last week. We're dealing with a subject. Bring it down a little. We tied it to the sojourners. Okay, we named it the sojourners. And last week I tried laying a very solid foundation. I would really, really recommend that if you're not here last week, you try and get a tape of everything we did last week. Because no matter how I try to cover up, I will not steal. But then, we're looking at something and we saw the book of 1 Peter refer to us as strangers. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. He said, I'm writing to strangers. He mentioned some countries. He mentioned Asia. He mentioned some countries. And he said, the believers in those places, you are strangers. And if you're very careless with Bible study, you will think that he was talking about the Jews that were living in another man's country. He was actually referring to believers and calling them strangers. Now, what does that mean? That means that we live in this world as people who are not of this world. Are you getting this now? You know, I saw that last week. I started showing you what the world system looks like. The world system, there is a system called the world. Are you getting me? Just stop. Stop. We'll pick up later. I'll tell you when to start. Now, there is a system called the world system. It's not talking about a geographical location. It's a system that is at work in place. And I showed you. That system is a dead system. It's a system characterized with darkness. Are you getting me? Like I was showing you, in that system, some things are just very normal. I showed you last week that if you're approaching it, that's maybe you are working in a company or something, and then you say you're not going to take bribe or take, maybe it's not bribe again, it's tip. You're not going to take tip. You know, you are seen as, what's wrong with you? It's a system of the world, it's a system. And in that system, it is normal to do some things. When you find that system operating in schools, and then when you're in school and you say, I'm not going to sort this course, you are seen as, what's wrong with you? I mean, this is the normal thing to do. The Bible tells us that system is dead. It's a dead system. It's characterized by darkness. The Bible tells us that we are in that system. Are you getting the point? He said you are sometime darkness. He said, but now. So there is a system of this world. But that system is not what we are part of. Are you seeing this now? That system, we are not part of that system. That is the way that system operates. Okay? In that system, I said last week, as a young girl, it's strange to be 22 and you're still a virgin. It's the system of the world. And when you mention it, they say, well, yeah. You know, there's a system. That's their perception of things. That's how they understand things. In that system, you know, anything bad is good. And the danger is we fail to realize that we are not from that system. Jesus puts it this way. He told them something. He said, you are from beneath, I am from above. The distance between you and the world is like heaven and earth. I know I'm talking about. You are from, he said, you are from beneath and from above. Jesus talking about it. He said, if you are of this world, I'll look at that next week. He said, if you are of this world, they would have loved you. But because you are not of this world, don't expect them to love you. I see this now. So that is a system of the world. And the believer needs to realize, the Bible tells us that we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. It was not just deliverance, and we have been translated
So there has been a change of kingdom. Are you seeing this now? So as you're sitting down here, you've been translated into the kingdom of Christ. But not everybody has been.
I see this now.
I told you that, Lord, that was when we're talking about Satan and all that. That when we talk about Satan and the kingdom of darkness, that the kingdom of darkness is not a geographical location. It's in the hearts of men. Remember I told you that? Satan works in the hearts of men. So when I'm talking about this system of the world, I'm talking about what goes on in the hearts of men.
I see this now.
It's a system. There's a way it operates. There's a way it dresses. You will be strange not to dress that way. That's why I told you last week, when you notice people saying you are weird, don't be angry, be happy. You should be. Because you are from two different systems. Are you getting the point? Sometimes they feel you take life too seriously. That's how it should be. We are not of this world. And I tried to push that into your head last week, that we are not of this world. We must not be found thinking, understanding things, perceiving things like the world. That's why I told you guys, it's not about making heaven. It's not about being able to make heaven. That's not why we do some things we do. Who cares about that? I'm in heaven already. I'm still with Christ right now. Are you getting me? When I came into Christ, hell lost me forever. Did you get what I said? If you don't believe that, you better believe it today. When I came into Christ, hell lost me forever. The Bible said we have entered rest. Are you getting me? Jesus talking about it, he places the responsibility of bringing you to heaven on himself. He said this is the will of God. John 6 verse 39. That all who see the Son and believe in him will never perish. Verse 40 says, and this is the will of God. That all who see the Son and believe in him will never perish. And I will raise him up at the last day. So it is Jesus that will do that. Are you getting the point? People say, but sir, what of that place where the Bible said that we should become a church that spots or wrinkle? And I'll tell you something, it's not in the Bible. Are you getting me? It's not, find it anywhere in the Bible. Nothing like that. What the Bible rather teaches is that God will prepare for himself a church. He didn't say we should become a church like that. He said he will prepare for himself. Are you getting what I'm saying? Heaven is not a problem for us. We are believers. If the unbeliever doesn't struggle to make hell, you must also struggle to make heaven. I get what I'm talking about. You will not go to hell. So calm down. So what I'm talking about today is not about heaven or hell. When you came into Christ, it was a done deal. But then you must realize that in this world, we are not like them. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3 verse 20, it said our citizenship is in heaven. So the way I explained it to you last week, I said, imagine if you have a father. And your father is a U.S. citizen. You know, whether you like it or not, it is better to be a U.S. citizen than to be a Nigerian citizen. Whether you love your country, whether you are patriotic or not, I'm telling you. Someone like me, I will never leave this country. I don't want to be a U.S. citizen, but I still know which one is better. Are you getting me? But then let's assume your dad is a U.S. citizen. He has houses there. But then you came to Nigeria for one thing, either school or anything. And you are going to stay here for like 1 year or something, and then you go back. You notice, you will be thinking different from everybody here. In fact, when you will not take this place to, when they're saying no job, this country is whack. Something in you is telling you that, man, I'm not from here, I'll soon leave this place. You'll be thinking differently because you know you are not from here. That's how it is. Bible said we are sojourners in this world. We are strangers. We are just passing by. We are pilgrims. Are you getting the point? We're just passing by. And so how I ended last week is, you must not be found. That's why Paul put it this way in Romans 12 verse 2. He said, be not conformed to this world. So when a believer is acting to the world, is conformation. In other words, it's a different thing from his original nature. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying now? Be not conformed. So when you are acting like the world, you are actually acting like who you are not. You try to perceive things like them because you want to be cool. Come on, be uncool. Are you getting me? You are not of the world. We just like to think like them, want to perceive like them, want to dress like them, because if you're not dressing this way, it means you're not cool. If you're not understanding this way, and that's why, like this Enugu now, as every boy starts getting to 11 years, 12 years, he starts practicing how to be a bad boy. The next thing, his tongue will change. Nah, man. I says, why was you talk like, why are you trying to be like that? I'm not saying it's a sin, but why are you trying to conform yourself to this? I get the point. You are not from here. Are you getting the point? You are not. So you must know if I'm thinking, I'm not talking about hell today. I'm talking about, you must know, it's identity problem. Other people are just trying to be everything all over the places. You want to talk like people in your office? Because if you don't collect bribe or tip, whatever you call it, you to look like you're not a serious person. Okay? You know, and that's what you find out too, because we'll get to that shortly today. You find out that in this world, we are here, we're not from here. Our priorities will differ. You know, they will wonder why you wake up and then you have lectures, and after lectures, instead of you to go and rest, you are rushing to church. Now, wonder which one is your own? Why carry it on your head? Yes, you are not from here. Are you getting me? We must not understand things the same way. And that's why we must not be found trying to do like them, trying to think like them, trying to perceive things like them. You must not be found doing that. Don't try to conform. You're from a different kingdom. They should be the ones trying to conform to what you are. Are you getting the point? But then they make you look like you are the disadvantaged one because you are carrying Bible. So I have eternal life. Come on, say, I have eternal life. Put it, say, I have a higher life. Say, I'm from a different kingdom. Say with me, say, I'm not from here. Say, I must not conform to the patterns of this world. Okay, now that's what I was trying to show us last week. Now today I'm going to continue from there. We're strangers here. We're from a different kingdom, from a higher kingdom, from a different kingdom. And Romans 12 verse 2, he said, be not conformed to this world. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we do as Christians. We rather, when he talks about be transformed, he's talking about to renew your mind means to allow your mind to see through the word of God. What is in the word of God? The word of God, people think the word of God is a book of instruction. Well, that is partly true, but that's not fully true. There are instructions in the Bible, but the first thing you will find in the Bible are not instructions. The Bible calls the word of God a mirror. A mirror doesn't show you what you should be like. A mirror shows you who you are. Are you getting me? So primarily the word of God reveals your identity to you. So when he says be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it means align your mind to the word of what is in the word of God, who you really are. So think exactly like you are and not like the world. So don't conform to the patterns of the world. And so we're not from here. So I'm going to touch three places. I told you in this series I'll be touching different spheres of life, and I'll be showing you what people might call cool. I'll be showing you the Bible way of doing these things. I can see me, I'm showing you. There is a way. For instance, I'll start with family today. I'll talk about your workplace today, and then your personal life, then we'll close. Next week, we'll pick up. Because I've seen a lot of things, and with the coming of social media, I'll be a bit real today. With the coming of social media, everybody's selling their ideologies all over the place. Everybody's just talking, whatever. You know, social media made everybody a counselor, a motivational speaker. Just start talking, advising people. Sometimes you're advising people over what you know nothing about. Everybody's a relationship coach today. Just come on Facebook, say, just talk anyhow. Say, if it breaks your heart, my sister, mend it. Most people talking like that have been broken too. They are talking from brokenness. Hallelujah. So, but there's a Bible way of doing things. Remember, look, let's start with something. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. You notice I'll be touching the book of 1 Peter a lot in this series. Okay. 1 Peter 2 verse 11. It says, dearly beloved, I beseech you. Oh, I like this. As strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. So why should I abstain from fleshly lusts? Because I'm a stranger and I'm a pilgrim because I'm not from here. Did you see that now? I must abstain from because I'm not actually from here. I'm not saying that when you abstain from these things, you will no longer be from here. No, you abstain from them because you are not from here. Can you see this now? So you say abstain because you are not from here. You're a stranger. You're a pilgrim. So I will touch family. I will just mention like 3-4 things you must know about family that the Bible teaches that the world system is trying to go against. One of them is the issue of wives and husbands, the issue of submission. Okay, some people are married here, some people are not. But just everybody has to listen to me. Because all over the place, people are forming, we are feminists, we are this, you know. That time I was on Facebook, and that was some time ago. They say, wife not cook.
A woman should not cook. Why should she cook? Somebody told me something. I'm going to address that today. I don't know if I'm going to hurt your theology or your mindsets. I'm going to hurt it with the word of God. Somebody told me I want to have a family where there are no gender roles. I said it doesn't exist. Where there are no gender roles. So that the woman can wake up tomorrow and decide to take care of the children. The next day, the man can decide to cook. You know those kind of stuff. I said I like it. Then someday too, the man can decide to breastfeed the children. She said no. I said then there are gender roles. I didn't get the point. Whether you like it or yes. Hallelujah. But there's a Bible way. Look at that First Peter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Now look at verse 1. He said, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. This is what the Bible teaches. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. He said, be in subjection to your wife, to your husbands. So actually in the home, the Bible way of doing family is that the Bible teaches order. You might be wondering, why are you talking about this today? I'll tell you. There's a Bible of doing family. The Bible teaches order. Any system where there is no order will crash. Are you getting me? If this is a church and we are all, you know, we are all staying across heavenly places. Imagine we are all pastors. Say there is no lead pastor here. All of us have the word now. So you preach small, I preach small. This place will crash. Are you getting me? So there must be order. So in the home there is order. Say wives be in subjection. It doesn't mean, I will still explain that. So in other words, a woman, people say, because that's what every feminist, most people who are doing that feminist thing have been wounded in their hearts. Now, I thought somebody asked me, are you against feminism? I said, no, I'm not against feminism. If feminism means that whatever a man can do, a woman can do, I'm not against it. If feminism means that a woman can get to any level she wants to get to in life, I'm not against it. If feminism means that a woman can become a bishop even in the church, I'm not against it. The Bible does not teach against such. I hope you know. I'm telling you, the Bible doesn't teach against a woman being anything, even general overseer. The Bible is not against it. But if feminism means that if I come into my husband's home, we'll be dragging for who is the head, I'm against it. It's not scriptural. I know what I'm talking about. So I'm saying this because many of you are married, some of you are. You're beginning to look at the world system and gradually it's slipping into your mindset. You admire what they do. I'll still come to career ladies now. We admire what they do. We want to do like them. Come on, see that woman now. Her husband doesn't even talk to her anyhow. Come on. And let me advise you. Before you start going, telling me in, somebody told me, but look at the Western world. I asked him, how many marriages have survived in the Western world? I know what I'm saying. How many of them survive? Contract marriage. 2 years, everything has crashed. Hallelujah. So he said, wives be subjection. Okay, look at verse 4, or verse 5 rather. I'll get to 3 and 4 later. Verse 5 said, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Abraham obeyed, or Sarah rather, obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are. Can you see what the Bible teaches? Say, obeyed. Some beat me today, but it's okay. He said, obeyed, calling him Lord. You know when I saw this? Yeah, that's a bit too far, you might think. But that's submission. Now, it doesn't mean, remember I've taught you, the Bible doesn't teach rulership. The Bible teaches leadership. So it doesn't mean a man should begin to lead us. I will not still take it. I will still come to men very soon. But I've seen women, you must submit to me. I said, before you preach submission, make sure you preach love too. Because the Bible said, husbands should love their wives. So it's not talking about trying to intimidate. The reason, see the point, because you've seen so many marriages in the world and has entered your head, you've seen your elder sister get married, you've seen her husband control her, you've seen her husband beat her. You get the point. So it has entered your mind, say, no, I won't take this. Can we just subject our mind to what the word of God teaches? I told you last week, I believe in marriage. Not because I've seen every marriage around me work. Not because I've not seen people break up. I believe in marriage because the Bible... See, it doesn't matter what you've seen around you. It doesn't matter how many breakups or divorces you've seen around you. It is going to work. Do you know what I say? So he said, be in submission to your own husbands. Now look at Ephesians 5 verse 24. He said, wives, submit to your husband. That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach a system where there is no order. The Bible teaches a system where there is order. So you have to start learning that. But let me slow down too. That this does not mean that as a guy, you are over every lady around you. They are not your wives. Don't think every lady should greet you because you're a guy. Every lady should submit to you. Every lady should answer to you because you're a guy. They are not your wives. It's to your husband. Are you getting me? Because I've seen people coming to places and saying, I'm a man, you're a woman. You just keep your manhood to yourself. Just keep it to yourself. I'm a man, you're a woman. You cannot talk to me like that. Anyway, some people that talk like that have not seen life. When you see life, you get into the office, your direct boss is a woman. Sometimes younger than you. You still be asking her, why am I not at work today? Talking her, she will sack you. I'm telling you. So that's why I'm not talking about controlling, but you see, in marriage, the Bible teaches submission. Now, in 5 minutes, the Bible teaches that husbands, look at what it says in 1 Peter 3. I want to address this weaker vessel matter. That 1 Peter 3 verse 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessels. So how do you treat a weaker vessel? Eh? Did you read that verse? How do you treat a weaker vessel? Giving honor to her. What it actually means, weaker vessel doesn't mean somebody that is less weak, less strong. It's somebody that has also recovered. It means if you have a rubber plate and a breakable plate, you will treat one more than the other because the other one, you get the point. So treat your woman with love. That's what it means. Treat her with love, treat her with care, treat her with affection. So, and look at what I see about Christian marriage. When a man, you know, I tell ladies, when a man is loving the wife, and the woman is submitting to the man, at the end of the day, the man will submit to the woman. You know what I'm saying now? This is just one key to control your husband, that he will be under you. You just be playing cool. Say, well, you are the man, Sha. I would have said this, but since it's anyway, anyone you choose, he will not say, no. Let's go with your own. You know, at the end of the day, you are playing the game. But people don't want this way. We want to come into the family. Our DCCC, I know my rights. I know my place. Not in this church. I'm telling you. Are you telling me? And you, the man, cannot come into the house and start saying, you submit to me. Anything I say, don't even bring up that verse. If you love her, she will submit. You don't have to teach it. It's a pastor's job. You're not a pastor. Just love her, she will submit. It's a simple thing. My point is, now, you might need this now, you might not need it. What I'm saying is, there is a way to do family. Ephesians 5:25 will tell us, husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? And gave himself for her. That's how to love your wife. You give yourself for her. So, my point is, when you see the world do family in a crazy way, you see a man beating up the wife, you see women taking authority, don't copy, don't think it's cool. It doesn't matter whether they are rich or whether they are poor. It doesn't matter that I'm talking to somebody here. It doesn't matter if that's the kind of family you grew up in. It doesn't matter whether you saw your dad beating your mom all the while. It doesn't matter whether you saw your mom subduing your dad all the while. That's not what the Bible teaches. Don't copy it. I know what I'm talking about. Somebody told me I will never wash my husband's clothes. I said why? I said because my mom never washed my dad's clothes. And I said, please go to the word of God. And people say, sir, did the Bible say women should wash their husband's clothes? Well, the Bible didn't say. Did the Bible say women should cook for their husband? The Bible partly said. He didn't say, but it implied it. You see it in the Bible. Are you getting the point? You know, people that do these things, they say, yeah, I will never cook for my husband. I say, don't worry. Life will teach you. It's not me. Life. By the time he goes outside to eat two times. Bible said when the angels, you know, when God, those angels visited Abraham, he received them as men, you remember? Abraham told Sarah, take this and go and cook. Was Abraham in the kitchen? And look at that kind of family. The Bible says Abraham had more than 300 staff in his house. Sarah fed all of them. I never get the point. can check Proverbs 31. You should be chatting, Proverbs 31 woman, Proverbs 31 woman. Have you ever read that verse? That says she wakes up early in the morning to take care of her family. I get the point. That's a Bible way of doing things. I'm talking to ladies particularly this morning. Don't be scared of being intimidated in your family. It will not happen. If you do marriage God's way, it will not happen. Don't be scared of your man. Don't be scared. Deal with that fear in your heart. It won't happen. Don't be scared. What if I now enter and he starts controlling me? He starts taking all my money. That's why I will not. Don't be scared of those things. Don't use your elder sister's marriage or your mother's marriage or somebody's marriage. They are not you. Many of them were not saved before they got married. But you are saved today. Are you getting me? Many of them will not seek the will of God. Many of them will not follow the Lord. But you will. So don't be scared of such things. Don't be scared of it. Are you getting me? Bible has, we are strangers in this world, so we pass through this world not doing marriage the way the world does marriage. And let me come to something else. Look at what happened. Look at 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, verse 4. Oh, glory. He said, he was talking about he that wants to be a bishop. I was talking about a bishop. Look at what he said in verse 4. He said, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So you notice, okay, go to chapter 5, verse 8. He says, if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own household, he is what? What did he say? He's worse than an unbeliever. So the Bible teaches that man and woman should prioritize their family. Did you see that? I'm coming to this pursuit of money thing. Because the Bible, the world system of family, is a woman is climbing, becoming a career woman, she becomes very big. The man is climbing, becoming, and they have their comfort, have city. I did secondary school ministry before, and until today, something is still pulling me to go back there till today. Because if you get there, you hear children talk. Some of them have not seen their parents in a, some people intentionally put their children in boarding school just so that they can have time. I don't get the point. Just running up and down, children are left to themselves. Bible said you must be there. He said a bishop must someone that looks at his family. That's why I love ministry. I prioritize ministry. But you see, my family must be there. And that's why you should not be found pursuing money all at one blow, and the children are blowing up. Somebody told me, she said, I will never marry a pastor. I said, why? I said, because my father is one. They said, now he's in Dubai. Tomorrow he'll be in Afghanistan. He said, sometimes I come into the office to talk with my dad. We've not gone for 10 minutes. A call will come in. He will leave the office. You will think he's coming back. He's not coming back in the next 2 weeks. That is a man effective doing things for God. He's a big man in this country. And I thank God for his life. But I don't want my kids to get that kind of testimony about me. I get the point. I'm saying it's not actually about ministry much this morning. I'm talking about money because many of us, you know, Nigeria, if we don't make money, wait till we gain. We are all pursuing the money. Hustle, hustle, hustle. And then we'll be hustling. And before you know, you get, and that's why there's some kinds of job you should not do. I get the point. There are some things you don't do. It's not because it's a sin, but because I'll still come to your spiritual life. You have your spiritual life to take care of. You don't neglect that. You have family too. Many have misplaced these things about family. And family is suffering. The man is making money. I see this now. Family is suffering. The woman is enjoying and making money. Career women up and down. Career men up and down. Businessmen blowing. Children are blowing up. I'm telling you, some will tell you, and that's why when they grow up, you start seeing a lot of things happen to them. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Where do you think it's going from? And I'm talking to you this morning, Halavo Shateka. If you are from that kind of family, I'd like you to align your mind to the word of God. Are you getting me? Don't think that is the normal way. Don't think that is the way it should be done. Don't think that's the way. Don't do marriage like the world. And that brings me to, it's still talking on marriage. You know, we don't marry to divorce. You know, in the world, divorce is a normal thing. It's normal. If you just mess up, I just leave him.
Why should you be? You've not gotten married and you're taking up divorce. I told somebody, I said, see, when I get married, I'm going to sign an agreement with my wife. There are words you don't mention in my house. Words like break up, leave, divorce. Don't talk about it. It's not in our vocabulary. I'm in ministry. I saw a lot of ministers. Some have been married for 15 years, 20 years, and they got divorced. I got very scared. I can tell you the truth. So I was like, how are you sure that you will not divorce after these people? You know, get the point. They've been there for 20 years and they still divorce. How are you sure? But I checked the Bible. The Bible tells us Jesus was talking about it. He said from the beginning it was not so. He said Moses allowed you people to give a certificate of divorce. But that's not God's plan from the onset. So I'm going to follow God's way. Are you getting the point? But you know, outside there is a normal thing. Some even do contract marriage. And that's why if you are here and you are considering single parenting, Last, I will just give birth and just take care of my child. Who, you have not so learned Christ. Where did you learn that one from? Now, I'm not saying a woman, if a girl mistakenly takes sin, okay, I'm not advised. I'm one of the people that advocates you should keep the child. It's not the child's fault. Are you getting the point? I keep the child. It's a different thing. But to sit down and plan that, last. I think it's not called single parenting now. It's baby mama. Uh-huh. I just have a baby mama. I'll just go and baby. You notice the way the world is now. Do you know it's normal to be a baby mama? It's the system of the world. It's normal. So, I don't have a wife, Sha. I have two baby mamas. So she. You have tried. Friends. We must not, discussing it as a normal thing, don't act like it, don't expose your ear to those things. They're not normal. Like it's in the point. You see, marriage, what God planned, you will get married to one man or one woman. You will have children. You will take care of the children. Are you getting me? You will live well with your husband. Whether you're married, some of you, I'm saying, because some of us are planning to get married. There are some things you must start deleting from your head. If you do anyhow, I will go. There is nobody doing anyhow, and there's nobody going anywhere. I'm going to see everybody staying. Are you getting me? There are extreme cases. Because I've seen cases where men beat up their wives. I hate physical abuse. So when it becomes too much, I can tell the woman, come out, can't stay alone for now. Let us monitor you. Because if you die, you have died. That's a different case. But you know what? You will not marry that kind of man. It's not prayer. I'm telling you the consequence of your choice. You will not choose that kind of man. You better don't. Hallelujah. So you know what I'm trying to say is, intentionally begin to change these mindsets here. So even when you live in a world where these things are normal, decide that it will not be your normal way of thinking. Are you getting me? Decide that it will not be your normal way of perceiving things. Hallelujah. Now let me talk about work, your workplace. Very key verse, Ephesians 4:28. Gonna deal with some stuff here. Are you there? Ephesians 4:28, powerful verse. Let him that stole do what? Come on, if you don't like that verse, read it louder. Say, let him that stole, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which is good. I'll start. When it comes to work, ladies and gentlemen, every work is not for the believer. You want to say it? He said, let him that stole steal no more, but let him walk. He did not just say he should walk. He told you what to work. What kind of work? The thing which is good. So there is work that is not good, no matter how much it pays. Are you getting the point? Are you listening to me? There is work that is not good. And I will talk to the guys now. I'm talking to the guys because it is, for the ladies have pressure, Sha, but you know the pressure that is on a man. Get the point? If you're not a man, you don't understand. Or if you're still in school, you don't understand. Once you leave school, just come out. If you don't even go for service, the pressure comes.
If you have younger ones, they are calling your phone as if you are working. Brother, how are you? Brother, send me a time. You know, the thing comes. And some of you are your people's younger ones, calling them like that. You know, the pressure will automatically come on you. Then from family, even if they are not putting the pressure, society is putting the pressure on you. And then suddenly you begin to see your mates. You know, some of them that just this secondary school, you see them. They'll just go like riding Benz. And if you've not finished, you know what I'm saying. But I'm telling you. And some of them are the serious ones in class. You get the point? And then the whole pressure will come. And by that time, opportunities will begin to open. Now I'll tell people, see Yahoo. If I was going to do Yahoo, I would blow. I'm telling you, what is there is a very simple thing. With the Spirit of God in me. And but then it begins to pull you. Some of them will open up. You see opportunities to cheat people, opportunities to dupe people up and down. Work that which is good. Don't fall for that kind of pressure. The world system is anyway in a way. Now hustle we day. That's not our system. I get to the point. You don't fall for it. He says, how can you be talking like this among believers? Believers are under this kind of pressure too. I am telling you. If you have not come under this kind of pressure, don't worry, it's coming. Now you've not seen life, I'm telling you. Say I'm from a rich home. When the reality of life does so, and then you now begin to check some girls, they don't want to look at you because they have money. He said, are they believer ladies? Believer ladies, so. Church girls, they don't want to look at you. They will not tell you that's why they're not looking at you, but you just know. They say I'm praying over it. Okay. But we know you are not praying. You are just waiting to see if things will shape up. And then you know. And then how you know she's not praying is one Malay boy will just enter from nowhere. And I'm going to, ladies, I'll talk about that next week. You see all these things. You see the world system is very funny. You see all these things, people. Say it just has one car. If you've been in this world for as long as I've been, I've not been too long, but you must have seen that there is a thin line between poverty and wealth. Don't forget what I said. Have you seen the rich become poor? A lot. I'm a minister. Some of them call you to their family to pray for them. They'll tell you, sir, I used to fly first class. Now I can't even ride bicycle. I've seen them. I get the point. And I've also seen the poor become rich. See, if that thing is your bias, you will get lost one day. I get the point. But then, guys, the pressure comes. The temptation is to do any work that is not good. And somehow, the Bible says stolen water is sweet. You know what's in the Bible? Proverbs is mad. Stolen water is sweet. So you just feel like I can just, what is there? Listen, friends, that which is good. I get to the point. You see, when it comes to making money, I'm going to tell you something. If you're under the sound of my voice this morning or listen from anywhere, you are not going to be broke. Even if you are destined to be broke, I have spoken, you cannot be broke again. Just calm down. I'm telling you this. So, and ladies too, the pressure comes on you. Because, you know, ladies, you know, but why I hate ladies and their own is, you know, guys, necessity brings our own. Ladies, they create their problem for themselves. Designer's bag, designer's shoe. What are all those things? And for you, the temptation comes. He says, sir, I'm not going to sleep with him. He says, all these boys disturbing me. I'll just collect them when I stop my own. That is not you. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? That which is good. I get what I'm saying. The pressure will come. Many of you, I know the kind of family some of us come from. I know how the struggle is. But that which is good. Are you getting me? That which is good. God has put something in you. There's an ability. It might be a skill. It could be anything. Work that which is good. Don't fall for that pressure. You are not of them that follow boys. Yes, you're not of them. And you must not be of them. That which is good. I want to see ladies come from here. Who will enter their husband's house as assets. Not looking for which boy to eat and which boy not to eat. How come everything about your life as a girl is I want to marry a rich man? Why can't the man want to marry a rich husband? A rich wife?
everything about you. Can you see, walk that which is good? And for you know, it's like gallivanting. And you know how you know these Yahoo boys who don't have future. 3 million enter their account, they buy a car. They're driving around. I say, you've not seen life. You've not seen life, driving around school, feeling good. And then for the girls just, they get carried away. But you know, if you're not doing everything I'm saying this morning, you are not cool. I hope you know. The cool ones are the ones who press hot in school, follow after those boys, go for all the night parties. But then, if that is what it means to be cool, friend, be uncool. Are you getting me? Don't be cool. Who wants to be cool? I'm on fire for God. I cannot be cool. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, walk, he said, that which is good. Then he teaches also in 1 Timothy, let me show you. So first of all, you choose a good work. This work could be getting a job. This work could be, it could be doing a business. In fact, I personally would advocate setting up your own firm. I would advocate that. Because working for people, you later find out is slavery. You may not know now, you will still know. Because even if your boss is paying you 1 million naira, think of how much he's making. Sometimes you make that 1 million in 2 days. I get the point. So while you may start with working for people, if you can set up your own firm, but whatever you do, let it just be good. I get the point. Let it just be something that will, that doesn't, you know. But then look at 1 Timothy 6. You know, I don't normally go this direction, but I know why I'm doing this. It's direct instruction. 1 Timothy 6 verse 1. It says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine may not blaspheme. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather let them do service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. He said, these things teach and exhort. So we teach when you are working under someone. He said, honor them. There is respect in the place of work. He talks about investment. He talks about faithfulness. This will not advocate for a believer because you are working with someone. Maybe he's saved or something. Work starts by 7. 7:30, you walk into the office. You're an unfaithful person. You should lose your job. You should lose the job. Are you getting me? You are faithful to our work. You can't tell me you went for vigil and then you forgot. Come on, face your work. Be faithful to the work. Be there on time. Do the work well. That's the character of saints. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? The world will try to maneuver their way. But that's not how saints act. We are faithful to the work. Whether they are saved or unsaved. The Bible tells us actually in verse 1 that when you do this, the name of the Lord and he's blasphemed. And that's why in many workplaces today they are blaspheming the name of God because of how some believers work, act in that place. You get the point? All these church people. I had somebody tell me he would never employ a believer, a church person in his company. I said why? I said, he said because they are not serious. You get the point? You come to work speaking in tongues. What's wrong with you? Face your work. Faithfulness in the place of work. I tell you, I employ in my company. I say come by 7. As my church member, you come by 7:30. I will sack you. We are still believers. I'm telling you, I will sack you and I will say encourage you. God will give you another job. I will pray for you. I will sack you first. I will bless you. Now I'm telling you. You have to be faithful to work. I get the point. Be faithful. And to students too. But I'm talking about school here. Students too. Be faithful to your books. I tell people one way to succeed in school is when you're given an assignment to do it. Do you know sometimes they give us an assignment to submit in 2 weeks' time, we dump it, then they date with the assignment, we start rushing up and down. Look, come on. Sometimes you put on unnecessary pressure. Give us a you have an assignment to do today, do it today. Are you getting me? What do it and keep it and relax. You know why you do it that way? Let me tell you. Because you're a believer. And you have demands that they don't have. Before you know, pastor will fix evening service. Before you know, pastor will fix all night prayer meeting. You now start struggling. Are you getting me? What people can afford to dump their own? They have all their time to themselves. Are you what I'm talking about? Before you know, we say we have missions next week. Everybody come out. If you don't come, pastor is shouting. He says, I have assignments. He will say, leave it, you know. But if you are faithful to your job, to your work, faithful to what you do, lecture is 7 o'clock, friend, be in your lecture hall. Just be faithful. I'm telling you, that's how saints act. That's how saints act. And that brings me to the next thing, still talking about your place of work. I want to strike this more.
Okay, well, let me get back to it. I was talking about faithfulness. And if you own your own business, I see this a lot in this town. And I hope believers are not like that. Because you own, if you're working in a bank, 7 o'clock, sometimes 6:30, you are in the place of work. But because you own your own business, you will not open your shop till 10. That's unfaithfulness. You're not a serious person. But if you're working for somebody else, you will be at work by 6:30. But if you own your own firm, you start home. Oh boy, last night was stressful. And you see, be faithful to your work. And I'll tell you, my friend, that this is a word for somebody. You are doing a business, no matter how small it is. Carry it with pride. Be faithful to it. Just be faithful. If you know how you will be dressing and behaving, if you have to be working in at KPMG or working in working in whatever bank, if you know how you'll be dressing and how you'll be carrying the work, carry it like that. Be faithful to your work. I get the point. If 7 o'clock, open your shop. Even if nobody comes till 10, open it. It shows you're faithful. It shows you're facing the work and you're faithful to it. Be faithful to your work. Hallelujah. Actually, sometimes I tell people, miracles open doors for people. Attitude closes the door. You know what I said? Miracles will open door for you. Your attitude will close the door that miracles open for you. Miracles will say, Father, I need a job. I want, you get the job finally. Because of your carelessness and unfaithfulness, you lose the job. We start praying again. God is always good. He'll give you another one. You close it again. I want to start a business. You start it because of your carelessness. Before you know, you run everything down. And I don't want to talk about money today, because if you run your business, be faithful when it comes to money too. Okay, no matter how small the business is, have an account book. I know this church, you guys, normally I don't go this direction, but you have to listen, you have to hear it. Have an account book. Don't just make money because it's 10 naira entrance. Record it. I get at the end of the month, calculate your expense. Even if you're working from home, I get what I'm saying. First, be faithful to your work. It will pay. Hallelujah. Now, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. It tells us, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but abusive bodies. Do you see what Paul calls laziness? He said it is working disorderly. In other words, it's not in the character of sense to be lazy. You know when we talk about new creation realities, the little one you know is, we are righteous. See, in Christ, we are not lazy. I'm telling you, he said, if you are lazy, the Bible said this, you are being disorder. You are working disorderly. You are not working in order. In our order, we are hard working. And so please be hard working. Face your work. Very important. I'm coming to something here. This, look, somebody read verse, let's read verse 12 together. I want you to go. Verse 12. Come on. Are you in verse 12? Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read. That with quietness they walk and do what? Eat their own bread. Walk. And I'm going to say this to some of your students here. Okay, and I know the kind of homes you come from. Don't sit down at home thinking of when God will provide or something. Yes, we have financial miracles. You will experience them a lot, even in this month. But God has not destined that we'll live like that. Jesus multiplied bread and fish only 2 times in his ministry. I know what I'm saying. So if you're students here, no matter how small, start something. Just work. Something that will not distract you from your book. Just anything. If you're not a student and you're waiting for a job, reality is, this is Nigeria. Start something. Are you getting me? No matter how small it is, don't sit down. Just be doing something. He said, let them work. Because if you don't, before you know, crazy thoughts will start clashing into your head. Okay, and then if you are here, you're a believer, you are in a position where you can employ labor, you can employ someone, come to church and talk to fellow believers. Find out if somebody has such a skill. I get the point. Let's get to work. Be working, have something doing, and be hard working too. I get what I mean. The character of the world is to dodge work, don't be hard working, lazy about, and that's the world wants quick money, lazy money, money that we do not work for. But that's not sense for you. I get the point. Get to work. We don't walk like the world. And that brings me to one last thing I'm going to say about walk. Then I'll talk about your personal life and we close. And that thing I'm going to say is priority. Work and money, priority. Luke 12 verse 15. I want us to look at that verse. Everybody, you're going to read it and echo it so loud. But I want that verse to sink into your head. If possible, go and put it on your Facebook status so that you'll be seeing it every day, so that you will not be thinking like the world. Are you there? Luke 12 verse 15. If you're there, say amen. I'm waiting for you. I'm going to read it like a mass choir. So I'm going to wait for you. Shalada basudu shasta. Are you there? Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. This is not what the world teaches. The world teaches that your life is all about how much do you have. Jesus teaches that your life is not about how much you have. Are you what I'm talking about? He said a man's life does not consist. What's NLT? Okay, read it, NLT. Listen.
Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own.
Life is not measured by what? How much you own. It's true. But that's not what the world teaches you. Imagine you go to meet your friend that is not safe. You say, guy, it's not about how much you have. You say, guy, you never see life. You know. But that's what Jesus teaches. Now, why did I bring this into work? You must prioritize your work very well. You must know, okay, we have to work, we have to make money. But that shouldn't be the first thing on the list. Many of us, we pursue money, I've talked about it, and we lose family. We pursue money, we lose our spiritual life. Some people have prayed for miracle and prayed for miracle, and now the miracle job has come, and that miracle job has taken them away from their spiritual life. I know what I'm talking about. You must place the right priority on it. It's not about money. It's not about these things you say. So, when the world, look at the system. When the world is all over the place trying to blow. Yes, you're also hustling. You're also doing your stuff. But your guys' priority should differ. Let me give an example of this priority. The world makes our money to lavish it. We make our money to give it. You get the point? The world makes our money just so that they can be lavishing it. I'm going to touch some things. I'm not saying it's bad though. But don't be driven by those things. The world makes our money to lavish it so that on my wedding day I can have people surround me, spraying me money, and we just come with Lamborghini, like 15 of them. We come in, they're gonna say, "Oh, that arrived." Oh, I'm not against all those things. Well, also, if that's all the drive, no. Prioritize this thing very well. You're not the world. You should not be pursuing money and you make money and you lose your spiritual life. That's what some people today, because of money or whatever business, are not in church. I know someone, I was talking with some of them yesterday. I said, guy, you don't go to church again. You know, people, we did church in school, though. Firebrand, I'm telling you. Because we did a lot of crazy things in school. We did things in school. Ah. I said, we've once walked 12 midnight. We walked around the whole school praying in tongues. That's what we did not do in school. Hallelujah. You know me, you know. But then, this guy, I met him. He's making it though, he has money. But I say, guy, we church now. He say, nah, I'm not gonna lie, you. Since this year, I never enter church. I say, but he has it now. In the world system, he has made it. But as far as I'm concerned, he's a failure. I told him. You get the point? I told him, see, guy, you now will not lie to you. If you get angry and leave this my hotel room this night, tomorrow, you will thank me for what I told you. You are a failure. You get the point? He said, well, I said, you made money. Very good. And when he wanted to go, I warned him. Because he told me, he just wants to go and make money. He will now come back for ministry. Most people that say that never come back. I get the point? You will not return. But I told him, you will not come back. As you're making, what? Be in church, be doing your thing. But okay, I will not talk much on this. I'll just give a scripture. We're going to read it together and I'll go to another thing. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 19. Are you there? Everybody be there. We're going to read it. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Okay, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but love for yourself treasures in heaven, and all that, and all that, and all that. Verse 21, let's do 21 together. 1, 2, 3, go. He said, where your treasure, most people, you know, when he talks about laying out treasure for yourself on earth, he's not saying don't make money. Are you getting me? How do you know where people are laying out their treasures? Where their heart is. It's not about how much they have. Some are poor, yes, their treasures on earth. Some are rich, their treasures in heaven. I get the point. How do you know that? Where a man sat, you can tell where a man is laying up his treasure by where his heart is. When a man is all about this earth, this world, money, everything is here. The guy is laying up treasure for himself on earth. I get the point. He said, where a man sat is. Let's continue with that verse, with that passage. I think that's Matthew 6, right? Okay, he said, where a man's heart is, he said, there his treasure is. So the light of the whole body is the eye. If therefore, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He said, so how do we serve God and mammon? He will show you. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body, what you shall put on. Okay, is not life more than meat and body more than raiment? So life is more important than all these things. I get the point. Okay, next verse. Behold the fowls of the air. You know, I like this illustration very well. He's teaching worry. You don't walk in worry. You don't worry. Hallelujah. But I want you to see this. Look at verse 31. Let's read verse 31 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on, are you there? I know I'm saying we should read together. Are you there? Let's go. What shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father. You see, he said, why did he say we should not? He said, look at how the Gentiles think. All they're thinking about is what shall we eat? What shall we drink? How shall we blow? That's the Gentile. He said, do not think like them. So he's not saying you should not walk, but this should not be your obsession. I told you last week, you have a different obsession. I get the point. The world can be obsessed with things, obsessed with money, obsessed with fashion. I have a different obsession. The version, text renounce it, but seek first kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So, get the point. You walk, you're hardworking, you're faithful to your walk, but you prioritize. Ladies and gentlemen, your spiritual life. It's not because I'm a pastor. Your spiritual life is more important than every other thing to you. You don't know why. Because when life meets you, your spiritual life is what you need to survive. Many people are rich, they are not happy. Many are rich, they, and yet they have issues. And I tell you, under God, we can have a human being who is rich financially, rich academically, and yet he is rich spiritually. Such people still exist. Are you getting the point? They still exist. Committed to their work, committed to their family, committed to church. They still exist. Are you getting the point? And you can be that person. So in our workplaces, we are hardworking, but we don't misplace our priority. Now finally, let me talk about you, your personal life. Just touch random parts of our lives, and then we close. Hallelujah. Now, let's return back to 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12. Come on, are you getting blessed? I know I'm hitting hard a lot of things, but then it's a gradual thing. You have to take it like that. All I'm trying to do, you might not remember everything I said today, but if there's one thing that should be ringing in your head is, I am not from here, and I must not perceive things like people that are from here. That's just the point. And that's, I'm going to address it that with close now. 1 Peter 2:11, are you there? Okay, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on, I want to hear you. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, verse 12, let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Do you observe what he said? I want, who has NLT? Read verse 12 for me. Listen to verse 12. Because I'm going to drive this and I don't want you to miss it. Look at verse 12.
Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world.
So there is a way Peter expects us to live when you are among unbelievers. This is why I'm going to close this meeting. You see, we are in the world, we are out of the world. He said, be careful. Normally, a believer should mind his lifestyle. But Peter says specifically, when you are among unbelievers. I get what I'm talking about. He says you should mind how you live. That is why there are things we don't do. Because you are living among the world. You cannot live among unbelievers. So you are trying to bring to Christ. Okay, let me be very practical here. I know someone may listen to this tape from outside. But if you do well, just understand what I'm trying to say. How many of you know, how many of you know there is nothing wrong with playing secular songs? How many of you know? You don't know? You better know now. Nothing wrong. You don't know. I'm telling you, you're not feeling guilty. I thought you, let me see your phone. Yeah. So wait. No, come on. There's nothing wrong with those things. Songs are just given for different purposes. Are you getting me? There are love songs. You sing it to your wife. You will not sing Akamarama to your wife. I look at your wife and say, you deserve the glory. No. No. But then, I mention that because, but do you see myself? If I go for an outside event, and I play, anyway, I don't dance normally. But then, even if I do, and I'm playing whatever, you will not see me respond to it. And I'm not saying it's bad. But I will not. I'm living among men. They are not saved. And they will never understand it. You know Paul taught this thing. He said there's nothing wrong with eating meat sacrificed for idol. He said, but if I go, if there are some people I'll be with, I will not eat it. I get the point. When you are with your unbelief, we are not of this world. So we must not give them any impression that we are like them. I don't get the point. You won't see me. That's what that means I don't do. Now people have asked me, what do you have to say about alcohol and all that? Well, for the records, I don't drink. I'm telling you, I don't drink anything. Alcohol, I don't drink it. Now, but I know there are some people I'm not a hypocritical person. Well, I've seen pastors that say don't drink, yet they have red wine in their houses. Which one is my alcoholic? Praise God, though. I know you don't like me now. But that's true. You don't drink. Star now is how many percent alcohol? 3.5, right? Is it 3 points? Or 5, whichever one, I don't drink. But then, do you know some red wines can be up to... But then they'll be drinking red wine because it's in a white bottle. You get the point? But they'll not drink that because it's in a green bottle. All those things are hypocrisy. I don't drink anyone, alcohol, red wine, I don't drink. I have my personal reasons. I will tell you if you ask me after. I get the point. It's not health. It's spiritual too. I don't drink. I don't believe it's for kings to drink wine. But if you drink it, it's okay. Just don't be mad. Now, but look at what I'm saying. You can never, even if I was to be drinking red wine, call it anything, you can never see me in a beer parlor. Sit down when I'm drinking. I get the point. And I say, I'm righteous in Christ. Oh, I'm right. Let me tell you, if you're walking into, no matter how much I preach, alcohol is not the same. And you're walking into this place and you see me at the gate. And I'm with one bottle of Gouda. You get the point? And you just come and I say, brother, I'm coming. Let me just finish this. As you're entering church, something has shifted in your mind. No matter how righteous you are in Christ. You get the point? You are living among people. Bible says, do not use your freedom as an occasion to make people to sin. What the Bible was teaching there is simply walk in love. And walking in love demands that there are some things that may not be bad, but it's not for me. And that's why there are some sins that believers commit and I feel very bad. Not really because the sin is bigger than any other sin, but because you've committed it among people. You see, as simple, I talk about it, I must talk about exam practice. As simple as exam practice is a very powerful thing. You say, why is it powerful? Because at the end of the day, you have gotten over it, God does not even remember it, but your classmates is in their mind. Tomorrow you stand up to preach, they say, yeah, we know you. I don't get the point. That's why you mind how you live when you're among people. You cannot be working with unbelievers in your place of work and are collecting whatever you are collecting too. And tomorrow you want them to attend platform of grace. I don't get the point. You can't. So when you're living among people in your neighborhood, we'll not read all the scriptures. I wanted to read because of our time. If you get to chapter 3, now start talking about Peter even said, be courteous. You know what's not courtesy? Greet. You know, some believers that are too spiritual. They don't know their seniors again. Be courteous. Just there's a way to live where you are among people. Like I said, you are not from here. So we will not live like people that are from here. I get the point. There are things they do. And that brings me to dressing too. So is it bad to wear trousers? No. Should I wear trousers as a girl? Yes. I'm telling you, if my wife is not wearing trousers, she has to start once I marry her. Immediately, that day. Fight me is your business. You say, why? I like it now. Is it your like? But there is a way believers don't dress too. I now said you should wear trousers, you now come and wear something that is showing everything. What is your problem? What is your problem? You know, you say we are free in Christ and you're exposing everything to the world to see. I say, hey, we don't know which one, whether it's your mouth praising God, which every part of your body is praising God at the same time. That's the way we don't dress. Say, sir, what do you teach about dressing? Be modest. Have sense. Sir, what is wrong with makeup? There is nothing wrong with makeup. There is something wrong with doing artwork on your face. Everything should be modest. The way we don't, and you see people, it's all about, ladies, I've not made up, I'm not coming out. Will you calm down? Will you calm down? People cannot give 40,000 naira in church, but they can use 8,000 naira to buy wig. I'm not against all those things, but come on, you have to wake up. We are not, don't be driven with things that drive the world. I get the point. If you have the money for a week, buy it, 150, 200, you will still see me buy it for those people. That person, sorry. I get the point. But then, let them know you don't live like that, driven by the whole thing. I tell my friends, I said, every clothes in the market is not for you. Everything trending, you must not talk about it. You must not wear every new clothes. You must not wear everything trending. Are you getting me? You must not. It's not you. It's not your own. As long as you don't even check whether it fits you or not, you just want to wear it. Because maybe it has a label. It's Gucci. It's this. You just want to, come on, calm down. Are you getting me? I became so surprised when I remember, I'm a very religious person. Just Jesus helping me. I remember the first day in school, in class, when I was in the university, I walked into the class and I saw a girl come to class on, you know, it's not even up to bone shorts, because all the girls, that one is not even, just something short. Something just, you know. And while she wore it, she drew tattoo here, you know, so she wanted us to see it. So she was showing her friends. If so, I shouted, like a small boy, Jesus Christ. I said, what are you wearing? And I remember, look, I'm in class. I just said, sorry, I left. But today, it's a normal thing. Believers can just think that doing evening stroll and wear bone shorts and come out. Ha! Sister, calm down. See, forget all these righteousness of God in Christ that you are claiming. Calm down. There is a way we don't dress. I get any point. I'm not saying it will make you lose your righteousness. It will not make you less holy. But it will just make you nothing different from where you are claiming you are not from. I get any point. If you have to go home and change your wardrobe, can't do it. I get any point. That's the way we don't dress. So I thought it was a grace church. Why are they preaching law today? I get the point this morning. That's the way we don't dress. I'm telling you. We are not stupid people. And I will not accommodate that. If I don't talk to you about, if you dress and I've not spoken to you about it, it's because you're not close to me. Once you are close to me, just like, sometimes, one of our leaders then, she just walked in, which I was just sitting, you know, we had a program. So she just walked in. She just walked in. I just turned and looked at her and removed my face. She just wrote me a note immediately. Sir, please, I'm sorry. It's just that my clothes will have a problem. That I have not talked. I just looked at her with my eyes. Now, you cannot be more graced than me now, you know. Talk of grace, righteous, if I you know now, cannot be more new creation than me. I get the point. But you are not a mad person. And don't live like that. I get me. That's where we don't dress. So we mind how we live among the unsaved. We don't copy the world. The Bible said, let your light so shine before men. Notice something, friends, as I'm closing this now. Notice something. Whenever the Bible teaches conduct, and as I've been talking about conduct since today, I've been focusing it to men. You see, before God, you don't need your conduct to be accepted. Only one thing is needed before God. What's that? Faith. Once you believe in Jesus, he has accepted you. That's why if you see of anything I'm addressing today, don't feel bad. Just correct it. I get the point. But why we need conduct is men. Let your light so shine. Where? Before men, not before God. It's before men. Men need your conduct. Are you getting the point? Why? Because you are living with them. Why? Because they are carnal. God can see your spirit righteous, complete in Christ. Men cannot see that spirit. It's even me that is a believer that will try my best to see you as you are in Christ. I will try not to know you after the flesh. Don't believe us out there. Are you getting me? That's why they call you pastor, pastor. You think they are hailing you? You get the point? I had a friend in school then. That's how I stopped being friends. Every conversation he will contribute. They talk about how one girl carry one boy carry one girl enter room. He contributed. I looked at him. I said, come on. One, you cannot even discuss that kind of thing around me. I'm telling you, see, that you call old time Christian. Look at him. I'm not even trying to blend into the system. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not trying to be 21st century. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's because we are just trying to be, you see, and that's why people think once they hear grace, they think a grace preaching church is any church that wears trousers and don't cover their hair. That's grace. You don't know anything, no. You've not started. They'll go there, they will knock you old covenants like this, and your life will not remain the same. Are you getting the point? That's not grace. Grace teaches that we are accepted before God, and it affects our conduct before men. Grace teaches that our conduct does not make us accepted before God. But grace teaches that conduct is needed before men. So as strangers that are passing through this earth, remind these things. Are you getting me? God, we know the good thing about our own is that we know God is pleased with us. We know we're not doing it to be able to make heaven. We know we are God's beloved. So we might. So what people do in fear, we do in love. Let me say it again. What people do because of fear, we do because of love. Let me put it this way again. What people do because of fear of missing heaven, we do because we love one another. Why will a religious girl not wear short skirts? She doesn't want to go to hell. Why will a grace believer not wear short skirts? Because she wants to walk in love towards some brothers. You didn't get that. That's just it. Why would a believer, why will someone under the law not steal? Because she doesn't want to go to hell. Why will I not steal? Because I'm not a thief. As simple as that, I'm not a thief. I'm not a thief. Two, if I love someone, I will not steal from the person. You get the point? So what the world do in response to fear, we do in response to love. Friends, we are not from here. We are heavenly citizens from a different kingdom. We are sojourners. We are travelers. We are just passing through this place. So they should not try to make us conform to their nature. And if I'm going to close this, so I'm going to say, it doesn't matter how long you live on this earth. Whether you live for 150 years, it's still short compared to what we are going to spend in eternity. This place is not our home, my friends. Are you getting the point? We are not from here. We are going to leave this place and go and live our lives forever somewhere. In the hallelujah, where we really belong. Hallelujah. I'm from Zion. I live like that here. I don't live like the world. I'm not driven by the same thing that drives them. The obsession is not my obsession. They are thought pattern is not my thought pattern. Their perception is not my perception. I'm from a different kingdom. I operate from a different pedestal. Like it's in the point. When they're laughing about this, I can cry about those same things. When they're crying about this, I rejoice about those same things. I'm a different being. I have a different thought pattern. I'm a new creation in Christ. Are you getting me? I'm just passing through. Stand to your feet wherever you are. Hallelujah. We are from a different thought pattern. We are from beneath. We are from above. We are from above. I told you the word again. In the Greek, it means anothen. It means born from above. We are born from above. We are not of this world. We might be living here, friends, but we are from a different country. Shatea. We are people of a different nation. Come up in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. In that kingdom, this is our language. That's that kingdom. It's our nature. So when they are crying, we are rejoicing. Things that excite them don't excite us. We have a different nature, we have a different kingdom. Talk in tongues wherever you are, everybody.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.